Welcome back to this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
You're here with your co-hosts, Fiona Daly and Courtney Passfield.
We are bringing back another beautiful, raw and authentic, unedited conversation for you guys to listen to.
So enjoy.
Hello, I'm Michelle Ganot, and we're going to have a beautiful conversation today about parenting. And I hope you enjoy this episode of the Your Daily Pass podcast.
Courtney, we're doing some more conversations with today.
We are. We love a good conversation.
This is right up our alley.
It is.
Not going to lie, I would like you to sing for us again.
I knew you were going to say that.
Do it or I quit.
So we are welcoming Michelle here today, and she has a fixer-upper parenting course. And I was like, when we were preparing.
If you're a mum and you've ever had anything to do with Elsa.
Yeah, I was out there singing, she's a bit of a fixer-upper. And I was really jamming with myself.
Obviously, they stole the name of that from Michelle's business. So, you know, they owe her a really snazzy jingle.
Exactly.
But Michelle Ganot, we're so excited to have you join us. We are going to talk parenting and a parenting course, which you're like, God knows we could all do a little bit of that.
Oh, look, we always laugh, hey, right? Like, I mean, this is the biggest and the oldest saying out there is like, oh, I wish these kids come with a manual. Well, I'm not saying it's a manual, but if we can like work on getting things
in the right direction,
it's going to help. It's definitely going to help. So Michelle, welcome to the Your Daily Pass podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you. I know, right? It was my singing that really did it for us.
It was just singing, wasn't it?
It was the singing because that's very much like me. So I feel right at home here.
You're like, I am ready and I am comfortable.
I need to ask you before we get started, Michelle, how many times have people said that to you? Are you like, I hear this every time?
Actually, you're my first. Yeah, you're the first one. But in my head, that's where I go because obviously I'm always singing like Let It Go, especially when I was teaching. Oh my God. I had a poor girl named Elsa in my class once. And so every time I said her name, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm going to start singing Let It Go.
I can't.
Every time.
There's nothing but the song.
Couldn't help it. Yeah. But she loved it.
She's a team player.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
She was. It was great.
I can't believe that's the first time.
Exactly. You know what?
There's no other mums in the world, is there?
Exactly.
It's obviously, we're the only ones out there.
There's no other talent like me that have really just set it off I have.
Do you know what? Let's find out about Michelle because you're singing shit.
So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about your journey. And, I mean, I know we've made the laughs about the Fixer Upper Parenting course, but obviously we are so here for learning all about it. But let's learn about you first. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a mom of three and they are all very young right now. So I have a 3.5-year-old, a 1.5-year-old and a 3-month-old. So we got a lot of little ones in the house. But yeah, so really the inspiration that came for the course is from my parenting, but also from teaching. So I'm a former teacher. I taught like kindergarten, third grade, and in those classes, I always had, because I have patience somehow, I always would get those really tough kids. And, you know, the kids who, like all the other teachers would be like, oh, man, you have that one and that one and that one on your class list. And it was always really tough. But I used to teach them in a certain way where I was going beyond academics with them, right? And so it was all like emotional help and just really helping them address like all of those behaviors in a nice way. So I used some of those same techniques with my own son, really, the oldest one. And it's just really made a difference in my own home. And I was really excited to share it with other parents because it's just things that are simple like visuals and things that just make your life a little bit easier, which we all need as parents because parenting is crazy, as we know.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a little bit of my story. It's like from the teaching turned into parent and now kind of helping parents of those tough behavior kids.
Oh, I love that.
It's actually interesting you bring it up. I was doing a recording. I don't know if you quite remember. Oh, no, you weren't in this one, Fiona. I was doing a recording. Sorry, it was one of the ones I did without you. I was doing a recording quite a few months ago, and it was where we were talking about different kids and in their home lives and different things like that. And, you know, in that it came up, one of the teacher aides was talking about how, you know, a certain child would have like really bad behavior on certain days. And she just, he kind of got brushed under the rug a little bit, you know what I mean? Like they were just like, oh, he's a naughty kid. It's this, it's that. And she started to really understand and sit down, and even once he would have a meltdown or a blow up or anything like that, she would sit down, and finally she sort of started to crack through. And what came up from it, it was like, oh, well, you know, the days that he really, I'm going to say played up, were also the days, you know, that night was really rough, or, you know, someone came home drunk, or they had the police at their house, and there was all these different things that would come up. And it was like, oh, wow. Like, yes, I know the way that the child is demonstrating those actions aren't the best, but if you just gave them a little bit of time and looked beyond that, we could start to understand where it came from.
Yeah, not just surface level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always loved the phrase when I was teaching it, I might butcher it, but it was like, the kids who need the most love show it in the most unloving ways. Mm. And I used to love that because, like, I mean, that just hits home, right? Yeah. Because whenever kids are melting down, sometimes that's when they really need the most love and patience from you. And you want to go crazy in those moments too, but that is really when they need it the most.
Mm. Yes. And I think it's even realizing that. So I have three children as well. I have twins that are 4 and then a singleton. I had to think then. Mother of the year. Twins that are 4 and a singleton. He's 3. Jesus, I'm on a winner here. They're only a year apart. Like, how did I forget?
Did you take him to school today?
Yeah, I did. Exactly. No, they're at school. But it is so true. I'm ashamed. I've forgotten where I was going with that because I've just gotten so embarrassed that I've forgotten how old my kids are. But look, it is so true. The way that, you know, how we think that they should act when they go through these traumas isn't the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I think it's just having a look at, you know, I've got 2 kids and my son will be 8 Christmas Day. So I've been doing it for a little while. And some of the kids that I'm like, whoa, man, you like proper stress me because there's a lot going on here and I don't understand what's going on, but I need you to chill. It's actually how they're showing you that they want love, but they're just like,
oh, yeah. That's exactly it.
Some
yep.
of these kids are just like proper in your face, and you just, all I want to do is climb the walls to get out of there. But if, when you stop and just take a moment, that's when you realize, oh, wait, they need something right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like parenting's almost one of those things where we kind of have to learn that we need to think about someone else's feelings first, not just
our own.
Yeah, like, you know, being uncomfortable and us being like, want to run away.
Do you know one of the most probably one of the most uncomfortable things about parenting is like parenting yourself through parenting?
Yes. And I was just going to say too, like, I get triggered by my own kids' behaviors, but realizing that it's like from my own childhood, like even, I don't know, just one quick example is like, I have a boy and a girl are the oldest, right? And so sometimes if my son is like giving my daughter a hard time, I'll be like, oh, I remember when my brother used to give me a hard time. And I'm like, you mother, and I'm like, come on. And then I'm like, wait, okay, calm down. Like, this is not your childhood. It's just a moment that you need to help them through.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's amazing how much you can get triggered by that too.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know. So because I had twins first, I kind of was just like, you know, after we found out that we were having twins, I was just like, I didn't know a lot of other twin mums. I knew a couple, don't get me wrong, but I didn't, you know, my besties and my like immediate circle, right? And so it was one of those things that I was just like, holy shit a brick, how the hell am I going to deal with 2 kids? Like, I didn't even know how to carry 2 kids at once. Like, there was a lot of things that I was like, oh, dear Lord, how are we going to make this happen? But one of the biggest things that I was like, that really, I don't want to say came to me, but one of those things that I was like, I have to work on this was like, I have to work on me. I could read any book about parenting or any book about all this other stuff, but I need to work on my mindset and my head, because like what I've got coming my way was too
you're
far.
You're gonna be full on.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually something that I talk about in the course is like helping know yourself too before you can even address your kids. And I remember doing like the Enneagram and all these different like personality tests. And whenever I would read the results, I was like, oh my God, this is so spot on. And I almost like was learning about myself through all of those things and about your reactions and how you handle situations. And just interact with other people like your kids too. So it is amazing what you can learn about yourself with like just self-help books and all those personality tests. It really helps with your parenting.
Yes. I love the love languages.
Yeah. I was going to say the love languages.
Yes. That's my favorite.
Yeah. And to learn about your kids, it's like, right, now I know why she needs to be touching me all day, every day.
All the time.
Right now, I'm going to flip my marbles.
I just need some quiet time right now. And that includes no one but mum. You go and sit over there, and then you like break her heart, but it's like, just need you to not touch me.
Yeah, I need you to make space.
Yes.
Yeah, it is true. But then also in the same token, like understanding that, but then going, okay, I understand what you need, but we need to have this conversation so that they can understand what I need as well. There's so many times where in parenting, you kind of go from like one extreme to the other where you just like are so all in that you just completely lose yourself because you're like, no, they are my world and there is no me without them. Like until they grow up and then you're like, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah, till they get a little bit older and they're independent and they don't care. They're doing their own thing. So it's a treat.
It's an absolute treat.
We kind of joke about that in our family because I'm like, I don't know why people complain about the teenage years, them hiding in their rooms. I'm like, right now, that sounds kind of nice. Yes. So let's be real.
I once had a mum say to me, she must have been asking me how the kids were going and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, like it's full on and it's, you know, hard and, you know, taking like this. And in no way was she dismissive. She was absolutely beautiful. And she just looked at me. She's like, Court, just wait to the day that they're crying and they're not under your roof and you can't help them. And I was like, oh, because right now.
Oh, that hurts.
I know, right? And I was like, that's not. Like she said it in the most beautiful way. And I was just like, oh. She's like, because right now when they cry, they want you and it fixes it. It may not be like, you know, straight away, but it was like it fixes
you're their
it.
Person.
You can fix like nearly all of their troubles, right, with a cuddle and time. Wait till the moment where that
doesn't
happen.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
That's an aggressive thing to say to me.
Well, at least you're going to look at your kids and go, okay, you can touch me for a little longer.
Will I?
Oh, absolutely.
It is so confusing. You know, like you can read things at different times of your life too, right? Like, you know, I went through a stage where like the kids, you know, when they're really full on and you're like, right, go to your room. Like, I need space. And then I read something. It was like, how bad sending them to their room it is because right now they're having a mental problem and you're, like, excluding them from the situation. And then you're like, oh, my God, worst parent in the world. Look at me go. Just why did anybody give me this role? And then you'll talk to somebody else and they'll say to you, but just wait for a minute. Does them giving you that space, like, it's not so much that, but do you give them that space and you get your space to realign yourself, work things out a little bit, and then do you go in there? And I was like, oh yeah. Like you can just look at things in so many different ways, can't you? You know, like
I think there's just so many different opinions too that are forced upon you.
Yeah, that are forced upon you. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like you know your kids the best too, and that's the hard thing. And that's what was kind of hard as a teacher too, because you have these 20 plus kids in front of you and you don't know how they all tick, right? Like a parent would. And so you have to learn that. And that's why you mentioned the love languages, but that's why I created all these different lessons and like conversation prompts, because I needed to learn about them so that I can then address their needs, really. And like one of the examples for the love languages was I sat them down and I said, they wrote out like, I love when my mom blank. I love when my dad blank. I love when my teacher, me, blank. And by that simple activity, I was able to look at that paper and say, okay, he loves when I congratulate him and give him like words of affirmation, but he loves when I give a hug, or she loves when, and I was able to identify each kid's needs just from that one activity. And so that's one of the things that I now do with my own kids here. And it could change in each situation, right? So my son lately has been super cuddly, and maybe because he's seeing me with the baby too. So in this stage, he's like really needing that physical touch, whereas before it was more like quality time type thing. So that's one of the resources that I created.
I love when.
Yeah, that's according to writing it down. What a great
mom
idea.
That. My God. And you know, with your course.
So simple.
That is amazing. But like, so at the moment, it's for parents, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for now. Yeah. And then I'm going to make like a teacher version. Yeah. Yeah. Please, that's like, next up on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I love that so much. And, you know, like, if I knew that my teacher, my kids' teachers, or even me as a kid, to be honest, you know, had these things like and did that sort of stuff, like how amazing would that have been?
Well, that was the cool thing. And that's something that I noticed when I was teaching, like my classroom was always different than the other ones. And because it was stuff like this, like where other teachers were always focused on everything that you need to focus on, right? But I was just so like, no, like fractions don't matter right now. Everyone come sit. We need to chat about something. And it was just super meaningful. And I loved leaving the classroom every day, just knowing that that was a priority for me. So yeah, that's definitely one of the things. And like you said, you're like, oh, this is such a simple prompt, but it's so simple, but it can make the biggest difference with behavior.
Oh, absolutely.
I know. That's right incredible. Now my head is like ticking around and I'm like, oh,
spinning.
I think I know what each of my children really loves. And, you know, it's probably a little bit hard with my three-year-old because he'd probably just repeat what the other two would say. Mm-hmm. But it is one of those things, like the when you start to think, you're like, oh, my God, like what do you really love? And then it opens up the book to – for you then to say as mom, okay, well, mommy really loves when you do this. And I think that's so important too, that it is a two-way street, that it isn't just us getting lost in them. And
absolutely. Yeah. And it's like the technical term that I really do is social emotional learning. And so that's exactly what it's about. It's about like developing positive relationships and teaching them that. So not only am I asking them, but I also say it to them what I need, because that's important. And so even when I do get upset or triggered by something they're doing, I verbalize everything that I'm feeling just to model it for them. So like if something happens and goes down, and I'll just be like, I am so mad right now. I need to take a minute to cool down or to calm my body. And that like calm my body is a really good phrase that I use with my son a lot. And he repeats it. So even when I get upset, he'll come up to me and he'll be like, hey, mommy, do you need to calm your body now? But in a way that's like helping, you know, because I do that for him. And so it's pretty cool because they really pick up on that. And then they're going to go do that and help someone else. Because they really repeat what you do, right? So those simple things can make a big difference in just like coping skills and a bunch of life skills.
Yes.
Oh, my God, Michelle, I am so all here for this. Like, I'm just thinking as a community, as a society, as a world, you know what I mean? Like, we need people like yourself doing this work on our next generation, because we have so much, you know, like my generation our generation is so that we're trying to work on ourselves, but it's like
the kids need to learn it as well.
They need to learn it as well. Exactly. So they don't have to go through the minefield of what we have to gone through.
Like hit a wall and then restart.
Isn't it amazing how much the world is just changing now that this is where we're at? You know what I mean? Like even take it back 10, 15 years ago, this is just not something that would happen. Probably even less than that, to be honest. Like, isn't it amazing that this is the way the world is going, that we're now teaching our young people this, how did you technically call it? The social.
Yeah. Social emotional learning social is like the technical term.
Learning.
Yeah.
Because like us as adults need social emotional learning. Like we.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing that I joke about throughout the course. Cause I'm like, hey, use this with your kids and yourself. Hey, use yes. this with your kids and just, the people in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is for yourself and how you interact with your spouse and family members. Like, it goes beyond just the kids.
Yeah. It's just teaching. There's so much power in teaching the conversation and understanding how other people feel, isn't there? Mm. Like, it's just, we do in my house, and I know you do it too, Courtney, at dinner every night, it's tell me what your favorite thing for the day was.
Yes. And, I love that.
Oh, it's so good. And we had a lady say to us one day, in her car, she used to say to the kids, well, tell me what you didn't like. And I was like, oh, that feels really negative. I don't know if I could pull that on. And we started doing it. And now as soon as everyone sits at the table, one of the kids is like, I'm going to tell you what my favorite thing was. And then we do all the favorite things. And then generally one of them will go, I'm going to tell you what I didn't like today. And you kind of think, oh, God, like this is, it's going to get hectic. But it's like, well, I didn't like today that I didn't get to sit for as long as I wanted to at lunchtime because I got to sit next to my friend. And it's just all these really thoughtful conversations that they're 5 and 8, but they're having these things and we can discuss that and talk about how that works or, oh, yeah, I get that. I would feel sad too. Or, yeah, it's kind of just learning to have a conversation.
Yeah, and they can handle a lot more than you think. And that's what I learned in the classroom. It's like, a lot of times, like, I would hate when people would be like, oh, that isn't talked about in school. Oh, you can't bring that up in school, like whatever topics. Like, my kids were from very, very difficult home lives. So they would come in with the worst baggage you could ever imagine. And so typically people are like, oh, they can't talk about it. And I'm like, in my classroom, we're talking about it, because someone who is not feeling well about something that happened at home, like hearing their parents screaming or fighting or like feeling scared by that, we immediately make that into something that they can relate to each other with. So I would say, has anyone ever heard their parents screaming like that? And I'd be raising my hand too, right? And immediately they see all these hands up and they're like, oh, I'm not alone. And like, how powerful is that with anything we're experiencing as adults, let alone kids?
It almost, it's like it almost gave them the permission to put the baggage down.
Yeah, completely. Because instead of masking it, right?
Yes. Because when we're masking it, we are holding it. Whereas when we're open with it, we're giving ourselves the permission to put the baggage down. Oh,
that's so good.
You know, it's one of those things, like Fiona mentioned about the what didn't go well. And when the lady first said it to us, we were like, why would you say that? You are opening up a can, right? Like it's, but I think, you know, like self-help and working on yourself wasn't really a thing. And then it became a thing, right? But then it became this like almost negative positivity. Hey, like we had to be like all positivity, all in. And like we just went to like from 0 to 100 real freaking quick. And now we're going, hang on a minute. We need to woo-sah a little bit and we need to like find that happy medium of being open of both. And I think that's what happens. And it's so interesting that now that they're allowing and that we're giving them the space to talk and to open themselves up, it also gives them the opportunity to say something that is really big, but then something that's not, and they get to put those bags down as well. You know what I mean? Like it's them getting to put that baggage down every day so they don't go to bed with that baggage.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that idea of like putting the bags down.
Yeah, yeah. And literally you can see a little one carrying a heavy bag. You know what I mean? Like you picture a little small child carrying a bag and seeing the
absolutely
trouble that it takes them to do that, whereas to put the bag down.
That's a good one. Michelle, tell us about some of the activities, because we have looked at all the things in the course and like, whew.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's right up our alley. We're not going to lie.
If you are on the same planet as a little person, you probably should do that.
Yes.
But tell us about some of the activities. Like, there is just
your daily check-ins. So please tell me about those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So my daily check-in, I want to make this into an app one day. That's on my list. I've got a big list of how to expand this here.
I can't wait to see this list come alive. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I'm working on the book right now. So daily check-in. Let's focus here, ladies. So this is pretty much just a chart that I fill out, and everyone is like, oh my God, I don't have time to fill this out. I do this maybe for 5 minutes a day, not even. And so there's five different parts to it. So the first part is affirmations. So I am what? Like, just being kind to yourself. Like, I am what? Today, mine was like, I am able to handle what comes at me today, because I've been going through a lot of stuff at once. And I'm like, you know what? I need to hear that for myself right now. And then the second part is self-care. So a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't have time for an hour massage or whatever, especially as busy parents. We can't escape all of their touchiness, right? The kids. So just making time for yourself, but in a way that's simple. So for 10 minutes today, I'm going to what? For me, like, I love going outside for a little bit, or just like taking some deep breaths before bed, like intentional breaths, not just like, okay, like going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. So just being mindful about what am I going to do for 5 to 10 minutes today. The next thing is goal setting. So waking up and just knowing, okay, what are two things that I really like, one or two things that I really want to get done today, just so you feel like you're going to bed productive. The next thing is the three things, and which is similar to your favorite thing of the day. So I just list out like three good things that happened that day. And usually it's amazing when you're looking for those good things, because there's a lot more than just three. And that's what I love. Like, I think today I had like seven things, like, and they're quick notes, right? It's nothing crazy. And then the last thing is having fun. So what is something that made you laugh that day? And I love this one, because on bad days, I'll go back and just look at what I've written. And that instantly can like improve your mood, just thinking back to all those fun moments from previous days.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
Something that made me laugh.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's a good idea. Because it's totally different to your favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to do those. And that's another lesson that I have with the kids as both teacher and parent is you can bring them into this and say like, hey, let's do this together, because that is all things that they can handle doing. So you can bring your kids into that practice. And it's just really cool. Yeah. It helps brighten your day. I feel like it just helps bring a better perspective.
Yeah. And to be honest here, it's going to buy you some quiet time as well if you get them to draw it.
Yeah. Let's be smart here, ladies.
If you want some quiet time out of the people, it'll make them think and it'll make them draw, and then hopefully they won't fight.
I think one of my biggest goals in life and is to think that at the end of the day, when my children are all grown, they'll always want to come back and feel safe in my home, and they'll always want to come and talk to me whenever they need. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I think that's like, if I was to water everything down fully, that's what my big end goal is. And so I think it's having these little communication keys and tricks to help start that communication at such a young age, or at any age, wherever you are starting, for us just in the younger years, but starting that motion of communicating the good, the bad, the in between, the happy, the sad, the all of those sort of things, so that when it is time, that slowly, gradually grows into something where they go, no, this did make me sad. And you can be there. And I'm not saying that you always have to do something about it, but it's just being there and having that ear.
Yeah.
For them to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's being able to have the conversations, I suppose. You know, like my conversations with Braith, because he's eight, you know, he went to a disco the other day and he said to me, Mum, there was these kids at the disco. And I was like, oh, yeah, what were they doing? And we just talked about it, you know, and he was like, oh, they were making bad choices. They were doing things that I could see weren't okay. And he said, and then they invited me to join them. And I was like, oh, righto. What did you do? Like, was it, you know, did you feel like they were the cool kids or something like that? And he goes, no, I didn't feel like they were cool. I just felt like they were naughty. So I said, no, thank you. And I went the other way. And I was like, thanks, man. Like, I'm really proud of you for making this great. That was a great decision. And, you know, just to be able to sit and have a conversation, I said, what do you think they were doing that for? And he said, because they said their dad doesn't care, so they don't get in trouble. Like, do you feel like your mum and dad care? And he goes, oh, there's no way that we would get away with doing that. And I'm like, do you feel like that's a good thing or a bad thing? And he goes, no, that's a good thing. You shouldn't be doing things like that. That's not kind. So that's just awesome. Being able to have the conversations with them.
And yeah, at it's cool, level, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so
cool. Yeah, because other kids aren't even opening up and saying that to their mom, right? So how amazing that your son did.
Yeah, well, I hope. Well, I hope that
other kids. I think that's a good thing.
I take these things as little wins because we have these conversations, and I'm like, sweet. Yeah. And you know, and you have to learn your place as they get that little bit older. Like, I took him to the disco, and I was like, okay, cool. What do you want me to do here? Do you want me to stay and wait for some of your friends to come, or are you cool to hang? Like, where are we at here? And he's like, nah, I'm all sweet, mum. So I'm like, okay, well. I'll see you a little bit later. And he's like, yeah, cool. Will you just be at the front, hey? And I was like, yeah, I'll come back. And I was like, Knuckles? And he goes, pound it. See, mum, have fun. But I was kind of like, I realize here we're at this stage where I'm not going to be allowed to cuddle you and kiss you in front of your friends because you'd be like, right. That's so uncool. So...
But I still want to be involved. I
want you to tell me where you want me to be, but also I'm right here.
Exactly. Where am I going to be? Right here, sitting here, waiting.
Well, I think it's kind of one of those things where you have to take the guidance from the kids because you can guide them for so long, but then they get to an age where it's like, well, where are you comfortable for me to be at? Do you want me to sit here for the night for an hour and a half while you're having a good time with your mates and watch you? Or do you want me, like, where do you want me to be? And they have to tell you where they're comfortable.
Mm. So once again, it comes back to the communication.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
This is so interesting, isn't it?
It's really.
I know. I'm really enjoying this.
Yes. It's just one of those things that you like. Actually, Michelle, that is a question I really do want to ask. How did you go from like being a teacher and kind of being like, I am with kids all the time, right? Like I see these little people, and then moving into this mum space where you're just like, holy dooly, this is completely different, like, than what you thought? Or
yeah, I would say, so I grew up and I was always around kids. Like, I babysat all the time. So I was always helping and doing that. But I think the biggest lesson I'm learning is kind of what we said before about parenting is parenting yourself and like, and how triggered you can get if you allow yourself by your past, by everything. And so that's been my biggest lesson with parenting is like as a teacher, you're a little removed. So it's not as like triggering, I guess. But with your own kids, you definitely start to see like, okay, do I want to parent the way my parents parented me? Or am I like steering clear of that and trying a different way?
And I think it's really interesting because it doesn't matter. Like, I always sort of remind myself that I could think that I'm doing the absolute best, and one day my kids are going to be like, oh, man, I hate it when you did that to me, mum. Like, it's never going to be perfect, right? So I think it's like, A, understanding that, but then B, also understanding like it doesn't matter how much you did or didn't love your own parenting, your parents' parenting style. It's kind of like you can still look at that and go, cool, I really loved this, but I did not like that.
Yes.
And so how am I going to change this? And then also you do get to the stage. How often is that said like, oh, my God, I've started sounding like my mother or I've started sounding like somebody, right? Like it happens to us all. So it's kind of like working through that and going, okay, well, this is a no-go zone for me. I do not like that, and that is so far from what our truth is going to be, and then working around that and going, okay, well, this works for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Oh, parenting, you tricky little thing, right?
Yeah. Completely.
thing. So let's talk words of wisdom. Do you have anything that you want to share with our listeners today?
I do. So there are two quick things that I want to share. So the first one is, I love the phrase, hurt people hurt people. So I learned that through a lot, just in my own childhood, and also seeing my students, the lives that they had to go through, and the hardship that they had to go through. And I like that because I guess my biggest mission from this whole course is to help kids who are hurting so they don't have to be hurting anymore, so that they can grow up and be like compassionate kids and adults. And that's just a phrase that really sticks with me a lot. Mm. And yeah. And then the other one is, there's this little boy that I had in one of my classes, and I learned a really big lesson from him. And it was a hard lesson because he didn't accept I tried so hard to break his little shell, right? And it took me months to get through to this kid. And no matter how much love and like I was pouring into him, he just wasn't used to accepting love from an adult and someone he thought he could like trust. So one day he had pretty much a panic attack every day. And so I would be sitting there holding him every day and just setting him up in a comfortable area of the classroom. So every time I would be like, it's okay, it's okay. And then he would burst even bigger and he would be like, it's not okay, it's not okay, I'm not okay. And I would be like going home in tears and I'm like, okay, he's not okay. He's right. Why am I saying he's okay? And that was such a cool lesson to learn because from then on, I started just saying, I'm here, I'm here. And that little shift in words, I noticed he was all of a sudden really receptive to it. And so, yeah, instead of saying it's okay during a meltdown, I say, I'm here. Just so they know, like, whatever the hell you're going through, I'm in it with you.
Yes. Stop it. Writing that down. That is solid.
Oh my God. I always freaking say, you're okay. You're okay. As they're crying. So I'm telling them that they're right. Okay to cry. Like,
yeah. And you're like saying that. And cause I do it too. Like I have done it too. It's like, you're telling them like, oh, your feelings aren't valid. Like, is pretty much what
sweep
that
it under
says.
The rug, get over yeah. it. Get over yeah. it. Whereas if you say, right. I'm here. Oh, wow.
Damn.
Just shows how powerful words are. And I think it's something completely. That we underestimate that so much so, but yeah. I'm here. So I'm here instead of you're okay. You're okay.
Yeah. Oh. And I finally broke through to him because I actually still keep in touch with him today, which is really, really special. Wow. Yeah.
That is amazing.
That is so nice.
Yeah.
Powerful place teachers have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely agree.
Gosh, yeah.
Absolutely. Michelle, there is so much solid gold in just our little conversation here, but where are we going to find you to be able to, for people to join your course and to find out and get some,
it's a bit of get some, rubber.
Yes, get some better than Courtney singing.
And we're back.
And there she is. We tried to leave her, but no.
Yep. So the website is course.fixerupperparenting.com. And on Instagram, it's fixerupperparenting. So nice and easy to remember.
Love it.
Especially if you're singing in your head with it.
Yeah. Do you have some Elsa pictures in there anywhere? Exactly. Or the rock singing?
Yeah, exactly. It needs to happen.
People know they're the legit side.
Oh, Michelle, thank legend. You so much. Oh, I have so many things. I think my big key takeaways today, just having a conversation with a fellow parent is just so good for the soul, isn't it? Like, because
it just seriously feels amazing.
Yeah, where you just think that you've run a shit show. So to any parents out there who feel like they do that, here is your beautiful conversation for you to feel a little bit better about yourself, that's for sure. But I love when mum blank. Like, I really, that's really cool. I definitely want to do that. That feels even like a question that I could ask every night. That's a good feeling. Like, I really love that. And honestly,
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here instead of the you're okay. Although there's something that made you laugh. That one sounds cool too. But the I'm here when you're sort of being there with your kids instead of the you're okay. I'm here. I think that is just such a game changer. And it's just two words, do you know what I mean?
It's a lot. They'll actually hear you.
Yeah.
I say it's okay to feel this way.
Yeah.
But that's a lot. And they're not going to hear all that between themselves, are they?
But I'm here.
Yeah, that's way better.
Yeah, that is absolutely beautiful. Oh, okay. So look at us go. Amazing conversation. Michelle.
So good.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. And now I have to just go off on a quick tangent. I feel like that could be a really good title for the book. I'm here.
Yeah.
Right?
Solid.
That just clicked when you were saying it.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look, you heard it here first, folks.
That is.
Can you tell I'm in book writing mode? I'm like everything is like inspiration. Yes. Write this down.
Absolutely.
Well, look, we have now just got your book title, so that's a big tick.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. All right.
I'm here.
To be determined.
Yes, I love it.
I can't wait to hear about when this book release is happening. Yes. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, wasn't that an epic episode? I love these conversations with. They just make my day, my week, all the things.
Yeah, Fiona, you're right. It's one of those things that we always feel that what is said is what is needed to be said. So I really truly hope that you guys have gotten something as we have out of this episode.
And let us know. Get in contact with us.
Please.
We would love to chat to you.
Yes.
Shoot us a message on our Insta or our Facebook and definitely leave us a review.
Definitely. And guys, look, how you share the love is by actually sharing the love. So make sure you share it with your friends. Let people know, because that's what keeps us doing what we're doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.